Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here, and very excited about the podcast today. You are in for a treat. With me in the studio today are my friends, Pastor Wilson Lim and Pastor Simon Ang. Wilson, you are
literally on the other side.
You're Australia and Malaysia for you, right? With a 12 hours difference, approximately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's always great. You must be in, and you're right here in our studio. You must be in jet lag. I'm impressed that you're here. You've gone through. You lead a movement called Hope International Ministries (HIM), and you've gone through a leadership succession where you have. 4 or 5 years ago, Simon, you were leading the way, and now, Wilson, you're leading the way. And we want to talk about how that happened, what that looks like. Again, for those who just tuned in for the first time here today, tell me a bit, Pastor Wilson, about HIM again.
Well, Hope International Ministry is a family of churches. We have almost 800 conventional churches across almost 40 nations.
That's amazing.
And we consider ourselves a family. We are church planning. We're disciple making. This are our major emphasis.
Right.
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, Pastor Simon, when and how did you begin this process for Hope International Ministry?
It would be 6 years ago.
Okay.
2017, I felt like it was time to do a search. It was time to pray.
Why did you feel it? Was it because you're getting older? Was it because you feel like this is not your cup of tea, so to speak? Why did you feel that way?
By that time, I was leading 10 years already as a president.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that it was time to have someone with a fresh energy, fresh insight, fresh wisdom, someone with a different gifting from me to be able to bring something new on board for our family of churches.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's when I began to pray and started that search.
Okay. And Wilson, were you aware of this at that time? Were you aware that he was?
Simon started giving me hints.
Gave you hints. So what kind of hints did he give you?
One of the hints was more obvious. I started to form a think tank team.
Okay.
So I brought Wilson and two others on board.
Okay.
I felt that I needed a smaller team. To think together with me, strategize, and have a broader picture. So that was kind of like see how these people would think together with me, how they come up with original ideas themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying it was 6 years before the transition that you started this process?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, that's really important because as anyone talking about transition, whether it's in business, whether it's in your job, you know, or church or whatever it is, and don't make quick decisions. Give time.
That's
get
right.
people involved in the process.
That's right.
And obviously,
that's right.
you did that so well. So, are there any other signposts that you thought it's time to start the process? Was there anything else that you were going through at that time? Or any other reasons why?
Or
was there a word from God? I mean, I don't want to minimize that.
Yeah. I'm a pastoral gifting. I started taking over the movement when we had a crisis.
Yes.
I brought the team together. I brought the movement together. And of course, with the regional pastors with me. So I felt that my process of doing that, I saw the stability in our movement. I saw the growth in our movement. And I felt that there was time for a new gifting to come on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone to be able to take it further, even from what I had done in the years that I've done as a president.
Okay, so as you begin to, Wilson, you begin to see this happening with your leader, with your pastor, so to speak, what was going on inside you?
Well, I could see that where Simon was leaning towards, and I could see, I could analyze the situation and the options available to him, the range of options. It wasn't a lot of options.
Right.
So I said, okay, look, I'm probably one of the key candidates on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, always in my heart, I've never been someone that wanted positions or anything. I just want to serve God.
Sure.
I just want to do whatever God wanted me to do. So I didn't want to interfere with the process I'm sure Simon was going through. So I didn't want to get involved in that process. So I kind of sat back and just waited and prayed. And, but actually, I sort of knew a year or so before, actually God spoke to me. And a prophet came to our church and he told me, he told us that, that I'm going to take on a...
Publicly or just privately?
Publicly, but he didn't describe the role, but I knew what other role could I take.
Okay.
And I forgot the words he used, but he said that I will be promoted up to a higher role.
Okay.
I said, what? There's no higher role.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that?
I wasn't there.
You were not. How did it make you feel when you heard that happen?
I didn't think I told
you. Yeah.
I didn't want to interfere his thinking because I would feel like I might be using God's name to pressure him. I didn't want that at all.
I really appreciate that you didn't, because many leaders will manipulate and even use prophetic words to manipulate, and you did not do that. You trusted it to God because you, you want to make sure it's God anyway. And of course we see it has been God, it is God.
So actually God was speaking to us differently, separately and independently. So that's that's a good confirmation on that, you know.
Okay, what are your difference of age? What's the difference
about
of age?
10 years.
You're 10 years apart. Okay. Yeah. So you're saying you started 6 years ago. Talk to me again. Walk me through the process then. You had these people speak into your lives. You had the prophetic word. You're waiting on God. Talk about the process. How did that work? What did that look like?
So I formed that team, and then we started working together with the three different persons with me. Wilson was one of them. So I think we explored different projects for the movement, different ways of expanding further, what were some leadership things that we wanted to do. And so 2 years into that, from 2017 to 2019, I felt it was time for Wilson to come on board as the elder. So in 2 years into that, we appointed Wilson, and then Dennis came on board as well. So then we worked even closer as an eldership team to further the process of how Wilson would think and function together, more than just being a regional pastor or the think tank team, but being an elder. How was his heart towards the movement? How was his gifting towards the movement, the competencies, the character, and the thinking process, you know, that Wilson would bring on board? So we explored it further. I explored it further in how Wilson would fit into the team and eventually lead the movement.
So when did you finally ask him? What did that look like when you asked him if he's willing to take your place?
2020, one year into that.
Okay.
I think there was another candidate that we thought might be suitable, or that I thought would be suitable. But finally, in 2020, it worked out. The confirmation for myself was that Wilson was the suitable candidate.
And then how did the rest of the whole family, you have a global family, many nations, like how did they get ownership in this? How did, what was their response? How did that work?
Yeah, I think one of the important area that has helped us a lot, Wilson has traveled in our movement and our churches over many years, and our people are familiar with him. He's gone to their camps, their conferences. Wilson has been on the platform with our HIM conferences, you know, so they are already very familiar with him. He's not a new face. And our regional pastors, because we meet together very often over so many years. So he's also worked together with the top leaders. He's also worked with the national pastors, the national core teams. He's a familiar leader, familiar face. They're used to Wilson being in the team already.
Now, today, Simon, you're still on the team.
Yes.
And it's just that, Wilson, you're leading the team.
Yes.
So how does that work? Like, what are your roles? Yeah, because you had the primary role, Simon, in the past, and Wilson, now you're the primary role.
Yes.
So, Wilson, what are the roles? How does that work?
The way we structured is that we have eldership, the global eldership. Right now, it's three of us, but I'm the president, so I'm the leader of the eldership.
Okay.
So I guess...
As the eldership of the movement.
Yes, that's right. So I guess it's a kind of a switch of a role. So I have to take the lead in terms of the direction and the heart of it.
Sure.
But in terms, I mean, Simon still leads his own region too. So that the regional part didn't change. It's just the eldership. It's just changed roles.
So you didn't retire in any way. You simply at all. I mean, you're traveling now probably as much as ever and ministering to leaders around the world. And you spoke at our conference here. So that's clear. So you didn't retire. But you simply switched roles. You simply, is that right?
That's right. More or less,
that's right. Yeah. So in the past, I was taking the lead, as in hearing from God, how do we move this movement forward? How do we grow our churches? And what's God's plan for the movement? Right. Wilson's taken on that role. And when I was president, he was a great supporter. Mm-hmm. He was like my armor bearer, and he was, you know, thinking and supporting. So the roles have switched. Now I'm supporting him. Right. I'm making sure that he's successful.
Thank you.
And doing as much as I can with the movement, and the because I'm strong with people, so I'm helping, talking to people, you know, and bringing them together under Wilson's leadership as well.
And I think part of it is just recognizing, I know Simon has strengths which really complement my strengths.
Right.
So having us both continuing to work together, it's just been tremendous. Mm-hmm. And of course, we added Dennis, and Dennis has brought in a different aspect, a different, more marketing savviness. That's his background.
He's a good man.
And he's I would say, an innovative thinker, a more innovative thinker. Mm-hmm. So that added to our eldership and the way we approach things.
Mm-hmm. I think, Brother Larry, with me not being out of the scene in the eldership, brings me being around brings added stability as well. People are seeing like, oh, you know, Simon is not abandoning. Simon is not just disappearing. He's still very much present, you know.
Right.
And he's still working with Wilson. He's still working with the new team. So that adds a dimension of security, stability, and continuity.
Yeah. You've done this so well. You know, you're very aware that in local churches, when there's leadership shifts and changes, often people leave. Not everyone, but some. They don't like the new leadership. In movements, the same thing can happen.
Yes.
So what has happened with you? And basically, do you feel like a lot of people have left because of the shift? Or do you feel like, no, there's been basic stability as a whole, things have moved ahead?
It was very similar. We didn't lose anybody, I don't think, over the change.
No. In fact, we grew.
Such a success story. A success story. Check out the show notes, by the way, Pastor Wilson, Pastor Simon, information about them, Hope International Ministries, all that. So make sure you check that out if there's anything that you would like to learn more from them. Now, here's the big question I have for each of you. We'll start with you, Simon. What was the hardest part of the process?
Well, because we are now such a huge family, when I started the process, I had to really make sure that there was a right person with the right competency, right character, right spirituality, having a heart for everyone in the movement.
Right.
Not just a heart for what they want to do in their region or in their pet topic or pet goal or vision, a vision for the movement.
Mm-hmm.
What would be our entire family of churches want to do together as well?
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that I had to really seek God carefully, think through carefully, consulted some people carefully as well.
Excellent. How about you, Wilson? What's the hardest part of this whole process from your perspective?
I think while he was on the process, there's the uncertainty on my part. I'm thinking like, okay, what's going to happen? You know,
right?
What's going to be the decision? What's it going to be like? Mm-hmm. So that was the level of uncertainty. And I guess I had to, because I'm someone that I usually think 5, 10, 20 years ahead. So I usually think ahead. So not being able to think ahead in those terms, I was like, okay, so I have to suppress myself a bit to hold myself back. So no, I'm just going to trust Simon and God, the process.
So other people listening today, what advice do you have for them as they go through processes of change, processes of transition? What are things that you've learned, Pastor Simon? We'll start with you.
I think depending on the complexity and the size of what you're handling, for us, because we are quite a sizable movement, start early rather than leave it till too late.
That's good.
I think if you leave it till too late, you're panicking, you're doing it in a hurried way, and you know you might tend to cut corners because you want to arrive at that solution sooner than you really want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it with local churches, bigger roles, smaller roles. The bigger the responsibility, the more time you need to pray and seek God and think through, talk through this process carefully.
Mm-hmm. So Wilson, what was the hardest part of the process for you? What was it like?
I think for me, it's like I said, I think trusting God and trusting the process that God knew what He was doing, that I didn't want to be forcing anything.
Yes.
Yeah, because I really wanted it to be a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a decision that no matter who was going to be appointed, I'm just going to support this because it's all about God's kingdom.
Right, so, right, exactly.
Yeah, it's to me, it's about what God wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to support what God wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw myself as, I'll support anybody that God, God appoints.
Beautiful.
To lead. Yeah.
So do you feel like right now you're right in your sweet spot, doing what God's called you to do? Because you're a pastor to pastors. You do that so well globally. Are you feeling like you're now in a sweet spot in a way you were not maybe 10 years ago?
Yes, I am happy to be in a role in doing what I'm doing, still talking to pastors, mentoring them, and seeing how they can be more successful in their churches. I'm happy that I'm supporting Wilson, that there is a God-anointed person who is thinking for the movement.
Exactly.
And I'm happy to support that vision. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm happy with that.
And you're happy with your new role, Wilson? I hope you are, because you're in.
I think to me, it was never been the issue of whether I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
It's whether I'm in the role that God wants me
to
be in.
That's the key.
Yeah, so I don't measure it by happiness.
I agree with that.
But I find joy in doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
And I think it's utilizing my giftings in a stronger way.
Yeah.
Doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So anybody listening today says, I'm going through a transition in life. Any other advice you would have for them, either of you? Anything else that you've learned? Say, we learned this and you need to follow this. This will help you. Anything?
Yeah. Well, I think transition was new to us and new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the first time I'm having to really look at transition. Even in my local church in Kuala Lumpur, in Malaysia, I'm also already looking at younger pastors.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Kuala Lumpur, I have pastors who are 20 years younger than me. So that's
a good
feel of pastors to look at. So for those who are going through this, I mentioned about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned about seeking out people who have gone ahead of you, you know, get some ideas from them. Because from what I had read, transitions could work very badly.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of horror stories in transitions.
Yeah. There's at least 50% that fail. So I'm like, wow, you know, this is not no easy task.
Right.
So I think pray through it carefully, talk to people who could give you, you know, wisdom in how you want to go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Wilson, anything you would add?
I would say make sure that the persons, I would rather work if I had option, there's two, maybe even three, to test them out so that they can prove their heart, their competence, whether they can work with the team. So having some exposure to the key team would be really crucial, and just see how the dynamics work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be a shame if you put someone in and the team can't work with this person.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really difficult.
Mm. It would.
Yes.
Last question I have for you is, the two of you, along with Dennis, live in three different regions of the world. You know, you're in Australia, Wilson. You're in the main islands, or the main part of mainland, so to speak, Malaysia, Simon. And then Dennis, who is in Borneo, is the same nation, but it's not close. How do you work together? How do you communicate? How do you lead? Since it's one thing if you're like this around a table all together, and obviously Zoom and things like that help. But how do you do that? How do you walk together? How do you stay connected to give proper leadership to the movement God's called you to lead?
I think we had a tremendous advantage because Simon raised Dennis. Dennis was basically more or less your right-hand man in Kuching, because he was the one that established Kuching. And of course, I have almost a 30-year relationship.
Kuching is in Malaysia.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I also have an almost 30-year relationship with Simon.
Okay.
So relationship-wise, it hasn't been a problem. So that's why I think that's one reason why we could work over such distances, even though it's like a lot of it's Zoom.
And so how do you connect? Do you connect by Zoom? Do you have monthly meetings? Or do you just get together as needed? How do you do that, either of you?
I think Wilson has mentioned about the relationship. I will emphasize again. because of the deep level of relationship and friendship we've had over 30 years, that cements our trust and understanding of each other. We don't doubt and we don't query in a doubtful way. That's helpful. But physically, we use Zoom and we get together as often as possible to be able to at least twice a year, face to face, you know. And I think on the Zoom and communication, officially we talk at least once a month, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm often in conversation with Dennis because we're still on the national That's team right. as well.
Right.
And of course we WhatsApp and you know all that kind of stuff.
Right, right. So listeners today who would be listening to this podcast and say, I need some advice on this whole transition process or whatever they're going through with their own movements, their own churches, whatever, I'm going to encourage them, just go to the show notes and it'd be okay if they would contact you.
Sure.
And then you can give them some advice as needed. That'd be a great blessing to people. Again, since we're touching so many nations of the world through this podcast, that could be a great blessing. Again, you've done it so well. Thank God for you.
I'll say probably for the person giving to a successor,
right.
you've got to learn how to let go in a way that the new person has the freedom to flourish. Good. And that's not easy. It's always like a father to a son
handing
something on, and you have to trust that this son has to do it his way.
I think. And it will be a bit different than the way it was before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Anything you want to add, son?
I mentioned earlier about taking time to go through this process carefully. Mm-hmm. So I said I started like 2017. Right now it's into 6 years already into that. But Wilson took over 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember I mentioned I had three candidates and we were looking at that. So I took time to test them out. And that really needs time. Sometimes you feel a leading and you think you want to test this area.
Sure. Yes.
Walk through their character carefully, walk through their heart for the movement, test out areas that would be really, really important, and don't miss that out because that would be the crucial, that could be the crucial deciding factor.
That's true. Very true. Simon Ng, Wilson Lim, thank you for being on the podcast today. This will help so many people going through their own transitions, their own successions, situations. And thank you so much for being on today. God bless you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
And everyone listening today, this is the Larry Crater Leadership Podcast, where we learn these small changes we can make that will make a massive difference in our lives and the lives of those we serve. And I look forward to having you back here next week. And thank you to Melina for putting this all together. She's a great blessing, works behind the scenes to make sure that this podcast happens week after week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.